This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM channel 80. LeBron and Steph put on a show. But is this a rivalry? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. See, here's the thing. At the end of that game, there's about a minute left. It's a tie game. And there was no time for me to tweet it out, or I would have, because basketball moves fast. You look down, all of a sudden you miss something. But I wanted to tweet out the same thing I tweeted out when Tom Brady and Drew Brees linked up in the playoffs this year. At that point, it was the fourth quarter. It was a tie game. The Saints had beaten the Bucks twice in the regular season. And I tweeted out, look, Drew Brees, this dude's got six, you got one. It's a tie game in the fourth quarter. You've beaten them twice in this regular season. We all know Tom Brady's going to make plays. Are you going to make plays enough to win right now? And the answer was no. The most accurate quarterback of all time, Drew Brees, is not even in the GOAT conversation because he can't make enough of those plays when it matters most. Not against Tom Brady. Brady makes the plays. I had the exact same feeling watching the game last night. A minute left. Fourth quarter, tie game. Steph Curry, like Drew Brees, the most accurate of all time, right? That's what shooting percentage is. He's the greatest shooter of all time. He's the most accurate shooter of all time. But he's not even in the conversation for GOAT. GOAT shooter, just like Drew Brees, GOAT, you know, accurate passer. But he is not in any conversation at all for GOAT player, just like Brees. Okay, here you go. Start writing the script. It's the great thing about sports. These guys write the script. People get on me, oh, you change your opinion. Yeah, when the facts change, I change my opinion. These things aren't already written, preordained. The athletes define the story, their own characters, and the story itself. But you start to get, you know, you start to get suspicious of certain guys. You start to be able to predict things, you think sometimes, at least most of the time. I was shocked when Kawhi Leonard, for example, choked in the fourth quarter of Game 7 against Denver last year because that hasn't been his MO. Doesn't mean he'll never choke, but he's usually very clutch. But Steph last night, I was thinking, all right, Steph, here it is. Go beat LeBron James. You go make the plays that win the game because I know LeBron's going to make some plays right now. And sure enough, what happened? LeBron got lucky. Like hell he got lucky. He got lucky when he was born, you know, to be a guy who grew into a 6'8", 250-pound monster is when he got lucky. He had a clear view over Steph's little head running out at him with his hand up at a 34-foot shot, which won the game. Steph didn't make the plays LeBron did. Yeah, it's because LeBron's bigger and stronger and faster. Yeah, that's true. Yes. Pound for pound, Steph Curry is a better player than LeBron, but that ain't how it works. He didn't do it, and LeBron did. This is a rivalry? In 2015, LeBron had his second and third best players, Kyrie and Kevin Love, hurt. His main support came from Matthew Dellavedova, and he took Steph and Klay and Dre and Iggy 6 games and was so clearly the best player on either team that they gave the MVP of the finals, because they don't give it to the guy on the losing team since Jerry West won it. They were like, okay, who guarded LeBron? Okay, Iguodala, we'll give it to him. Couldn't give it to Curry, because LeBron was twice as good as Curry. 2016, Draymond Green was about to win finals MVP. Couldn't give it to Curry. Then LeBron outplayed everyone, and LeBron correctly got finals MVP. Bumped off a 73-win team. And then basically, the Warriors ran up the white flag in a way. They were like, look, even with the greatest regular season team of all time and the unanimous MVP on the team, we can't beat LeBron. We need more. Not just a little more. We need maybe the second best player in the game in addition to everything else we have. And they put KD on the team with barely subtracting anything. Like, KD replaced Harrison Barnes on that team. They turned Harrison Barnes, presto changeo, into Kevin Durant. Well, at that point, you can't lose. So, of course, they beat LeBron and company in 2017 and 18. By the way, KD won finals MVP both years, not Steph. LeBron should have gotten Finals MVP for sure in 2017, maybe also in 18, but KD had a better case then. I'm just saying, I know it says the caller last segment said I'm throwing shade at Steph. I guess so. It's not really what it's about, but let's not get it bent. LeBron James is worth a Steph and a half, right? A Steph and a half. It's not a rivalry. If it's a rivalry, one of the guys got to do something at some point to get a win. LeBron's rivalry is with one guy, Kevin Durant. No, LeBron's rivalry is with Michael Jordan. By his own admission, that's who he's chasing. He goes, I'm chasing ghosts. He's losing to the ghost, but he's losing to the ghost and the goat. It's the goat, the ghost of the goat. It's a goat ghost. But he's come closer than anyone else. Interesting. LeBron has 97 career tying or go ahead, you know, game tying or go ahead field goals in the final minute, like last night included. 97. Oh, he was lucky. He got lucky 97 times. That's second in the last quarter century. You know who has first last quarter century? Kobe Bean Bryant with 101. Like, these lists are not accidents. You think LeBron accidentally finds himself on a list with Kobe Bryant? Or maybe it's because they're all-time great players in a different category than Steph, who's an all-time great. But, look, fans who think Kobe's the greatest of all time, you're wrong. He's not really in that argument for greatest of all time, but he is in that innermost sanctum, Kobe Bryant. LeBron is pushing MJ for greatest ever. He's in second place right now. MJ, LeBron, Kobe. That's one level. Steph is not on that level. It's not a rivalry. Here's LeBron on the three that gave him the lead.
I saw it was I had to get it up, at least get up on the rim. Second thing I saw was three rims, from being poked in the eye on that previous possession when I drove to the hole and then in transition. So I just aim for the middle one, I practice enough, I work on, my game, and I was able to be the man above and do a lot of practice, and I was able to drain it.
You know who LeBron is? LeBron's like Luke Skywalker talking about, if Luke Skywalker was like LeBron and he blew up the Death Star, afterward he'd have been like, yeah, I blew up Death Star. And not only that, but Darth Vader was in the ship with me trying to choke me with the Force. And also, don't make it more than it is, LeBron. Damn. You won. You saved the day. When he does stuff like that, I was seeing three different things. I aimed for the one in the middle. People roll their eyes. They're like, damn, why you try to make it more dramatic? Just say, yeah, I was having a hard time seeing. That's the truth. You weren't seeing no three rims aimed for the one in the middle. That's an old boxing thing. Guy gets hurt, says he sees three guys. The trainer says, aim for the one in the middle. Here's Steph Curry on LeBron's big shot.
It's a great shot. Broken play. I sunk in thinking, he was kind of out of play, and they found him. He got a dodge just in time and knocked it down. So, that was a tough one because you don't really expect it to go in. You expect us to get the rebound, come down in transition, have a possession to take the lead. But, everything changes when it goes in. All-time great players make great shots. That's what happens.
Yeah, all-time great players make great shots. Steph's gotta make some of those. Listen, when it matters most. Listen, the Lakers opened -300 favorites against the Suns. That means a 3-1 favorite in the old days. You gotta risk $300 to make $100 if you bet Lakers. Should they be? I think they should be favored against the Suns. I wouldn't make them 3-1. I'd make them slight favorites over the Suns. I think they will win, but I think that's very tough. I think LeBron's gonna have to wind up guarding Devin Booker in the moments of truth, because who else is going to do it? That dude is unstoppable. Everyone's talking about Chris Paul. Chris Paul's great, but just watch what Booker does right now. Meantime, you would think, given the injuries and everything on Golden State, whatever Steph does is gravy, and if he doesn't do something, it doesn't count against him this year. But actually, I think you have to always recalibrate these things. I don't think Steph can lose to Memphis. I think that's a bad look. I think now in a go-home, win-or-go-home game against the Memphis Grizzlies, Steph's got to come through. He's got to not only play big when it matters most, his team's got to win now. Speaking of winning, Robert Smigel, actor, comedian, writer, director, comic genius, and obviously, obviously, noticer of great talent. Robert Smigel's on the phone right now. Robert, how you doing?
Hello. I'm good. So you're picking Steph to handle Memphis?
I'm saying he has to. He has to. Robert Smigel, of course, does Triumph the Insult Comic Dog and used to write for SNL. And like all the most hilarious things you've seen in the last 30 years are Robert Smigel. TV Funhouse, if you ever had a chance to see it.
Everything you've seen.
I used to watch TV Funhouse thinking, how did they get this on TV? And, of course, you made like 6 episodes and I didn't get any more. I was so upset.
I think I was 8. That was pretty good for me. I got 8 in that run.
You got 8. So let me ask you something.
Let's be real. We've only done 4. So
so Let's Be Real is your new show on Fox and on Hulu, by the way, Disney owned Hulu.
So you can talk it up all you want.
So right,
with no fear of repercussion.
That's right. I love it. That's the best kind of talking with no fear of repercussion. the season finale is on tonight.
Max Kellerman. The season finale is on tonight. We've got appearances by, you know, no one's going to top Max Kellerman last week, but we have Sacha Baron Cohen is on the show tonight.
Who's he arguing? What puppet is he arguing with?
He is. There's an interplay between him and Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, very good. Oh, yeah, that's right, because he keeps going Zuckerberg.
Frequent critic of.
Yes.
He's been criticizing. Yes. Yeah, so there's a Mark Zuckerberg puppet. And there's Jeff Garland is on the show, the real Jeff
Love
Garland.
Love Jeff Garland. Yep. On
Coolio is on the show tonight.
Get out of here.
Torn from today's headlines, Coolio.
So, and tonight it's a special 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, right? On Fox?
8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, correct.
So, Robert, I want to ask you something. Yeah. When you, because I want to play the sketch in a second, a little clip from it at least. When you, I got to say, it was the coolest thing I've ever done. Like, I've been in Rocky movies and stuff, and I grew up, but when I got, when my manager's like, Robert Smigel wrote a sketch for you to be in playing yourself, arguing with a Stephen A. puppet, I thought, oh my God, I got to do this. I was very, what gave you the idea to do a first take sketch?
Well, let's be fair. I helped write the sketch, but Brian Rich, a brilliant writer who's worked with me at Conan for many years and created the Masturbating Bear. We can say that on a Disney-owned channel. Right?
We like to, we're living in the 1950s. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty then. Well, the bear that likes to please himself in innocent ways.
Well, digital anyway, manipulation bear. Go ahead.
That's the one. That's the beloved character everyone remembers. Brian Rich had the idea of Stephen A. invading a funeral, and I don't know how much you want to give away, but he's a fantastic writer. He's primarily responsible for the sketch, and we were just talking about how funny it would be to make I'm obsessed with Stephen A. I wrote the SNL sketches back in the day when Jay Farrow would do Stephen A. on Weekend Update. I wrote those with help from Adam McKay. And, I've been wanting to do Stephen A. on this show. He's just, he's just one of those people that makes life better.
So I want to play a clip from the show. Can I play a clip from last week's show?
Please play
the
Stephen A.
This is Stephen A. This is the Stephen A. funeral arguing with me clip from Let's Be Real, which special time tonight, the final episode of this season. What do we call it? The finale. Final episode finale. See, I got that in English. My English is not perfect, but is tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Here's a clip from last week's show, Stephen A. Arguing with me.
Thanks, Meta. I first met Coach Belfort at basketball camp when I was 15, and over the years, we became like family. I always thought of myself as having two Uncle Louis, my mom's brother, and Coach Bell.
Now hold on there just a second, Max Kellerman. Max Kellerman, I understand you loved Coach Bedford. We all did, Max Kellerman. But for you to have the audacity to compare him to your Uncle Louie, a man that gave you $3,000 for your bar mitzvah when he already was paying alimony to two women, Max Kellerman, you have to be pulling my leg.
Stephen A., how come nobody told me he was going
to
be up here?
Let's understand something very clearly. I was not supposed to speak, nor was I even invited to this funeral. But Max, you should know there's nowhere you can go, nowhere you can hide where you can give your point of view without a passionate rebuttal from me. And I will not let you denigrate your Uncle Louie in the presence of these people.
Stephen A., yes, my Uncle Louie was a good uncle in his day. But to even speak his name in the same breath as say, my Uncle Howie is absurd.
That's a little clip from Robert Smigel's new show. That's right. Serious acting.
Serious acting.
That's right. How did I do? I don't care about anything else.
I thought you were phenomenal.
Yes.
Played yourself better than I could imagine anyone else playing.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. I got to admit it. Me too. I thought I played myself very well. So who did Stephen A.'s voice?
No one does Max Kellerman better than Max Kellerman.
That's right. Except for
and
maybe
Savvy
Robert Smigel.
Savvy the Amusing is the name of the comedian who played Stephen A., and I thought he did. He actually played Stephen A., and he played Shaq in the same sketch.
Yeah, he did a good Stephen A. Like, and matter of fact, you didn't use some of the stuff he did when he starts talking really fast because he's so upset. It's almost like he's flustered. And I thought I was listening to Stephen A. Like he got, like one
That's
of those
for
things.
You to talk about. Yeah, and then he goes down like this. I love Stephen A. is like the closest thing we have to Cosell.
Robert, let me ask you this. Are you a sports fan, a big sports fan?
I'm an enormous sports fan.
Seems that way to me.
To a fault.
Who are your teams?
And especially the NBA. So, And now my children have been poisoned by my obsession with the NBA.
Is it the Knicks, the Nets, or the Lakers?
In terms of what?
Your rooting interest.
Oh God, I'm a New Yorker. I have no. The Lakers are the team I root against. On a yearly basis. I haven't liked the Lakers since Magic and Kareem and Worthy. That was a team that was impossible not to like. But since then, they're like the Yankees. Everybody who doesn't live in that city, just agrees to hate them. Isn't that how it works?
Wait, are you a Mets fan?
I am a Mets fan.
Oh, for crying out loud, Robert.
I'm an underdog.
Oh, we were doing
guy.
So well. Mets and who? Mets, Knicks, and but then, now tell me you're a Jets fan. You just don't want to be happy.
No, it's that the Yankees, I used to like the Yankees. I'm an old guy, so I liked the Yankees when they first got good.
Mm-hmm.
And I also liked the 96 team
mm-hmm.
that was constructed by Gene Michael, not mm-hmm. George Steinbrenner,
mm-hmm.
that was bereft of free agent talent. But mm-hmm. then they immediately started stacking that team with people like Roger Clemens, and it just takes the fun out of it for me when the team, like, part of rooting for a team is like rooting for your, for your general manager to make really smart moves and draft people. I mean, that's the kind of fan I am. So like my kids are, I've raised them to like the same philosophy. So now they have a problem with the Brooklyn Nets.
Ah,
even though two of my favorite players ever, Harden and Kyrie, like they're literally the most fun players to watch.
But Robert, talking to Robert Smigel, of course, Triumph, the comic, the Insult Comic Dog, and SNL, and so many other things, comic genius Robert Smigel. But isn't it like the Knicks wanted to create a culture healthy enough that could attract guys like Harden and Kyrie and KD.
Oh my
the Lakers
God.
Wanted to do and the same thing with LeBron and AD, and it worked. And so, like, if the Knicks were to do that, would you not be – like, aren't you interested in the Knicks actually achieving what the Nets did?
At this point, it's the reality of the sport that you have to the Knicks spent years, like, rebuilding, and now – that free agency is basically so wide open that the athletes are in complete control.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get an athlete to join a team that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove that you've got, a foundation that they can build on. So the only ways to win now are to like be incredibly bad so that you can get like, you know, so that you can draft somebody like Zion Williamson. And then you still don't even get to draft him if you're the Knicks because they had bad luck in the lottery. And so, you know, the only other option is to try to, you know, it used to be that, you know, like back at the Knicks went and wasted the last 30 years trying to make the playoffs every year, even though, you know, they would trade people like Marcus Camby for
and Nene. You know. Marcus and Nene, the draft pick that would go for the remains of Antonio McDyess. Robert, don't get me started on the Knicks trades. You know, like they can't hurt me anymore. Yeah, I'm rooting for the Lakers now. I'm all done with the Knicks. The great Robert Smigel, and gentlemen. You have to come back on the show and maybe bring I'd like Triumph to appear on this show at some point, if that's possible. If
what a highlight in my career this would be.
the great Robert Smigel, ladies and gentlemen, his brand new show, season finale tonight. Let's Be Real. Sacha Baron Cohen will be on it. Let's Be Real.
Yes.
Sacha Baron Cohen's going to be on it. It's at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30
Pacific. 7:30
Pacific,
and you can watch all the shows on Hulu, including the one that Max and the Stephen A. Puppet were on.
That's the important one, everybody. That's the one you have to watch. The great Robert Smigel, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Robert. Appreciate it. I've been a huge fan of Robert Smigel for years. He joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Did Tebow already split the locker room? Friends, if you're in a job you can't stand or worried your unemployment benefits will be ending, you need to go to mycomputercareer.edu and fill out the free career evaluation form. I've personally spoken with them. And listen, apparently, employers are lining up to hire their graduates. In as little as 4 months, you could start your career in the growing cybersecurity and networking fields. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. Tell them Max sent you.
Coming up tomorrow on KJZ, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the play-in tournament and the state of the NBA as we head into the playoffs. Adam Silver with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin tomorrow morning at 9:15 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Robert Smigel joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. The show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst on the line. Wood, what's good, Wood?
Man, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
It's been a minute. Where have you been hiding yourself?
Man, I've been hiding in the cutting jersey, just waiting for my time, biding for my time to chop it up with you.
There it is. How you feeling about your Lakers?
I feel okay, man. I'm okay. I think they're working through some things. You know, obviously LeBron and AD, they've been having a bunch of injuries that they've been dealing with, and they got to get that groove back. And other supporting pieces got to come up big. You know, Dennis Schroeder got to come up. He got to play better. He didn't play well. Mm-hmm. So, listen, we escaped out of Golden State. But it doesn't get any easier from here, I can tell you that.
Yeah, the question is this lingering effects of COVID with Schroeder, or is Schroeder a jag, just the guy? Because Rondo was not nearly as good as Schroeder regular season, but one thing about Rondo is playoffs come around and you can rely on him being an all-star. That was not Schroeder last year, and I don't love the Lakers' chances if Schroeder can't get his game up a little, so hopefully he can. Meantime, I want to talk to you about some football stuff, Wood, because after all, Two Super Bowl rings, big fat contract with the Jets. You've been around the block in the NFL. Do you think the big question with Urban Meyer coming into the NFL, as with all college coaches, I'm sure the locker room's looking like, does this dude think that this is college, right? And he seemed to have first trying to bring a strength and conditioning coach in that was controversial, now signing Tim Tebow. Do you think he's already divided the locker room?
Well, I'll tell you this, Max. I can tell you right now, veterans are looking at him with the side eye. Like, wait a minute, man. What, what's what's really going on here? Because it doesn't, Max, when it comes to pro football, veterans don't care what you did on a collegiate level. You still have to earn, you have to earn them over. All right? All that stuff at Ohio State and Florida doesn't mean one thing in the National Football League. So when you come in the door and you starting off with questionable moves, the strength coach, you know, questionable hire there. Obviously he resigns. And this whole Tim Tebow thing. Guys are just like, what kind of stunts are you pulling here? Like, Tim Tebow is not going to he's not going to help implement your culture.
Is he going to make the team, do you think? Damien, you think he makes the team?
I don't know. Max, he's going to be 34 going into the season.
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying can he play tight end successfully in the NFL. I'm saying, like, does Urban Meyer make sure he's on the team? You know what I mean?
I don't think so, but even, Max, if he's on the team, guys only follow guys who basically are ballers. They don't follow second, third string guys. That's just not how it works in pro sports. You got to be one of the best guys either on offense, defense, or special teams. Guys are not going to be you're not going to be leading guys as a reserve player. That's just not how it works.
I want to get into something else here. You know who I think is flying under the radar right now in a crazy kind of way? Is Joe Burrow, Damien, heading into this next season? Because I'm thinking about Trevor Lawrence, and I know it doesn't always translate from college to the pros exactly, like, but Trevor Lawrence is like the greatest quarterback prospect ever, and I pick Clemson to win the championship that year because they are going to have the best player on the field. Would the best player on the field was Joe Burrow by so much, it was crazy. Joe Burrow got hurt last year, but when you look at that receiving core in Cincinnati, they got a gang of dudes now with Ja'Marr Chase. He ain't the only one. Higgins, and boy, they got guys. I think Joe Burrow in that very tough NFC North is kind of flying under the radar in a weird way. What are your thoughts about Burrow this upcoming season?
Well, I think that, listen, I think you're absolutely right. I think Joe Burrow is, I mean, last year, man, he was putting up numbers. He was putting up numbers on a bad team. You could tell, like, sometimes guys step in the league and the game looks too big for him. That wasn't the case with him. He stepped in and he was slinging it right out of the gate. I think the biggest thing, man, is can they protect him? And that was the question in the draft. Do we go get the receiver or do we get a lineman to protect him? They went and got, you know, Ja'Marr Chase, which I don't blame them. I probably would have went protection. But if he's protected, Max, watch out. This dude can sling it all over the park with the best of them.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up, he's kind of flying under the radar. It makes me think of it because, like, we haven't really been paying attention to him because he's gotten hurt and because of the fanfare around Trevor Lawrence. But when we bring up Tebow, sometimes I think, like, is there anything in the idea that you bring Tebow in because it creates a smokescreen or a distraction of sorts that takes the focus off Trevor Lawrence? Because, what, I haven't heard people talk Trevor Lawrence since this Tebow thing came up. You know? Like, why? Otherwise, it would be all over him.
But you know what, Max? I'm not buying that because guess what? Trevor Lawrence, the spotlight has been on Trevor Lawrence since high school. Max, he was the number one. He was the number one QB. Him and Justin Fields, like 1A, 1B coming out of high school. Stepped on Clemson's campus, you know, with Deshaun Watson, you know, there. This dude has been celebrated for years. So I don't buy the nonsense of trying to distract and not have all this attention on Trevor Lawrence. He's been used to it since high school.
Now, look, the main thing, Damien, is I'm happy to see that apparently you've reclaimed the house. I saw during COVID that you were doing hits first from this giant room in the middle, and then little by little the kids took over the house. You got a gang of kids, and all of a sudden you were like stuck in a corner in the bathroom somewhere. But now I notice when you do hits on First Take, you're back in the middle of the house, so I'm glad you reclaimed the house. Looks like we're coming out of this pandemic just in time. Damien Woody, ladies and gentlemen. The great Damien Woody. Thank you as always, Damien. Join me on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Lakers got past the Warriors in the playing game. How do they match up with the Suns in the playoff series? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app
and Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Lakers, Suns in the first round, everybody. Lakers, Suns in the first round. That's a tough matchup. I mean, look, I like the Lakers, but they shouldn't be minus 300 favorites, meaning you got to bet 300 to win 100 on the Lakers. It's 3-1 favorite. It's not exactly 3-1 because if you bet 100 on the Suns, you get 240. But it's between like a 2.5 to a 3-1 favorite, as we'd say in the old days. I don't think it's like that. I think the Lakers should be like a 7-5, 8-5 favorite, something like that. Not even 2-1. And here's the problem. The Lakers have AD, and there's really no accounting for him, and DeAndre Ayton's a little green to be going, you know, against AD. But the Suns got a backcourt in Chris Paul and Devin Booker that's very difficult to do anything about. And what I think is it's going to be a very tough series, and ultimately LeBron James is going to have to guard Devin Booker. Who else is going to stop him? Booker's one of these dudes where I was always suspicious. Like, are these empty calorie stats he's putting up? Until last year, I saw him go bananas for a team that wouldn't lose, and then they added Chris Paul. Ron in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah,
you're right about LeBron putting on a show. It's an Oscar-worthy show. There's a reason why he invested in Liverpool Soccer Club, because he wants to learn from the best sports injury actors out there. Yes, he got fouled, but there's no reason for him to be writhing in pain like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We don't know what he's seeing or what he's looking at. It's just the way he said, the thing about I aimed for the one in the middle is like an old saying in boxing. You know, you got hit so hard, you see three guys, the corner man tells you, you know, aim for the guy in the middle. It's been in movies. It's been for like, when I say decades, I don't mean like 30 or 40. I mean like 60, 70 years that's been around, right? So when LeBron says it, maybe he's just telling you what's going on, but it just feels like he wants a little more credit for what he overcame. And to me, it's like diminishing returns, worse than diminishing returns. It like turns some people off when in fact, he did this incredibly heroic thing. He might have been better off just to say, my eye was really bothering me.
I see three of them out there.
Hit the one
in the middle. Right.
Hit the
one in the middle.
From Rocky, or one of the Rockies. Sam in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I'm curious, why so much hate on Tim Tebow? I mean, they're bringing him on as a tight end, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you name how many third string tight ends of the NFL can you name me right now?
Right, of course. But I agree. I don't think there should be a lot of hate on Tebow. But I think people are the objections seem to be that he's getting an opportunity that other people don't get. And I think it's tied in whether people admit it or not. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Stephen A. brought it up today on First Take, to this idea of white privilege. And I don't know that it is in this case. I mean, you know, how racial stuff has an impact on these kind of things is unknowable, probably. But I don't know that it is white privilege in Tebow's case that's giving him this opportunity that others don't get as much as it is, look, it's his hometown. It's his former college coach. He's always had a tremendous following. He's charismatic. He's a leader. He's very devoted religiously. He's connected with people on a number of levels. Like, it's Tebow. But I do think that there's this sense out there that look, why does he deserve an opportunity in sports is really the most meritocratic kind of landscape we have in American life. You know, it doesn't matter who your daddy is, what your roster bonus was, anything. If you can't hit a curveball, if you can't make a tackle, you ain't on the team, not for very long. And so when something comes into kind of challenge, the merit-based way that we produce sports. I think it really bothers people, particularly when it could be tied into ideas of racial privilege and that kind of stuff. I don't see it that way for Tebow, and his opportunity doesn't bother me at all. I do think if people want to link it to Kaepernick, like, you know, Tebow's got a job somehow, Kaepernick doesn't? What's that about? Because Kaepernick doesn't have a job for non-football reasons.
probably illegally, in my opinion. But Tebow may have a job for non-football reasons. And I'm not asked, I would never say, hey, Tebow, give up the opportunity. I might say, I do say, hey, Tim, maybe you want to say something about Cap not even getting a look? Flake in the Bronx, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yo, Max Kellerman.
Fact. Yes.
Speaking of facts.
Right.
I just want to big up and give you props on your take outside of what the topic was, that the stance that you take on as far as, like, Kaepernick not getting a job, and we have, like, I'm an African-American, so-called African-American. And it's like, well, or this.
How much time we have? You know what? We got 10 seconds. We're going to have to pick this up another time. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.